Coming up on another Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy show. You believe that? Show number 3 or 4 we're up to now. Maybe 34. Maybe it's 344. I'm not even sure anymore how many 44s it is. Well, we've got a scary situation tonight. Extremely scary in the fact that Don Newsom in California, he's not far from here. Tonight as we speak in California, can you believe that? I should have had him on here. He's over in Palm Springs getting a little sun. And I guess his brother Doug is going to be manning the helm tonight, which is great. So welcome in, Doug. Glad you're here tonight and handling this show. Maybe you should start doing it, and we'll leave Don out here in California. We'll lock him up at a golf course over there in Palm Springs. So it's been a good weekend. Last weekend was pretty interesting. Had a lot of conversations with Don, of course, a lot of good feedback. And by the way, FredBell@Pyradyne.com is my email address. And by the way, a lot of people are coming. We're getting a lot of consultations, requests for health problems and energy problems and consciousness-changing things. And I charge several hundred dollars an hour, but Mikkel, my assistant, has been doing it for free. So her number is 1-800-729-2603. If you actually want to speak to somebody right away, it's 1-800-729-2603. She's probably smarter than I am, and she seems to help a lot more people than I do, and she doesn't charge any money. But I'm expensive. Unless it's an immediate serious illness that I in the family or somebody's family that I know, then I'll come right out, and then they'll charge for that. But I'm talking day-to-day maintenance and energy problems that we have. Tonight's topic will be, the first topic is going to be on lasers. Now, when you hear the topic of lasers and the prices mentioned, this is, remember, this is a show in 1984. You're going to hear some sky-high prices, like red lasers starting at $2,000 and up, green lasers $10,000, and blue lasers $10,000. Those prices, don't let those scare you away. Those are old prices. The prices today are red lasers starting at under $100 and maybe go to $1,000 for a very exotic one, but typically nothing more than $100. Most of our applications, $70 to $80 is more realistic, not thousands. That shows you how much prices have dropped since then. Green lasers starting around $275 and not going much over $1,800 for a major system. And then, of course, the blue lasers, those start around $1,500 and don't go much over $3,000. The technology on the blue and the green has dropped so much. Of course, we still have some pretty exotic laser prices, but they're absolutely useless for most applications. You don't need to spend that much money. So don't worry about prices. They're far less than quoted on the tape, the Health, Science, and Energy tape. And I think that I hear Jim over there talking to Dr. Fred Bell. I can't quite tell yet because the way the system works around here, you never know what the other Fred Bell is doing at any given time. So we're going to be tuning into that here in about a second here. And what they're up to over there. And the second part of the show is going to be interesting too, because we're going to do another show, obviously. This is some, starts off with a caller and learning about the questions about the nuclear receptor that people keep asking me. Once again, the contact numbers are 1-800-729-2603 to speak to Mikkel. And my email address is fredbell@pyradyne.com. And those of you better grab the specials on the internet, because we're about, as soon as Don gets back, all those 2-for-1 deals are all going to go away. So anyhow, how's the time? Also, I might announce one other thing for you exotic fans out there. We have a new line where we have an 18-karat gold-plated portamid now. That's 24-karat gold-plated portamid available to go over your bed. Imagine having a gold pyramid over your entire bed with a gold capstone and a gold orb, all 18-karat or 24-karat. Anything beyond 18, by the way, I keep bringing that number up, is because that's the shape of the octahedral gold molecule that has all the healing power. The 14 and 10 carat gold does not have that, and we don't use any of that in our product. So I think I hear him stirring around back there. I'm not sure what's going on. These guys never seem to handle themselves that well, but Jim and Fred.
WFN.
Oh, there they are. Sounds like they're coming in.
93.5 KFOX.
I think that's him.
Now continues with the Dr. Fred Bell Health Science and Energy Show, now live from Laguna Beach, California. Here is Dr. Fred Bell. Good morning, Dr. Bell.
Good morning, Jim, and how's everything over there today?
Well, everything is rather cloudy. I think we're anticipating some rain.
Why are we having so much rain, Jim?
Well, the Soviet Union has been doing experiments on weather control, and I think they are affecting... I don't know, like we do now.
The rumor is that I hear you've been out hanging out with the Indians Saturday night doing rain dances.
Well, that's because the Soviets are paying me to do that.
Oh, okay, great.
This is all a joke. Nobody should take me seriously at all. Please.
Well, I saw you at the last party rally, so, I mean, it's okay.
He was serious. He wasn't joking.
How you doing?
Oh, really good. Did you do anything exciting this weekend?
No, I can't say my weekends this past month have been too exciting. Did a lot of reading.
You're reading a lot too now, huh?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I'm doing a lot of studying and reading. I do that a lot. I've been, we got two new catalogs we're coming out with now. I hope they'll have them out in the next 3 weeks or so. One on the systems that we talk about here all the time on KFOX.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of new products in it. And then I'm updating my other catalog on the pyramids. And of course, a lot more information will be there, too. And today, also, by the way, coming up, I've got two new nutritional products that we're real excited about coming out. Maybe we'll be introducing them, hopefully, next week, depending on if the labels are done from the printer and that, you know. So we're coming out with some, coming online with some more exciting new health products for all the listeners out there. And we'll be premiering them right here on KFOX. Which will be fun, and maybe this week, if I get a chance, I've got your system ready now. It's built. We built it over the weekend. This is a working weekend for me. And I'm going to come up there, and we're going to...
every weekend's a week. Don't let him kid you. He works every weekend.
With some high-tech
equipment. Boy, does his girlfriend complain.
Okay.
Oh, never ending.
Maybe we'll have you cooking. We'll have you cooking in the ozone up there. Would that be nice?
Well, I don't want to cook in the ozone.
You don't want to, huh?
Well, ozone's a poisonous gas, isn't it?
Well, I'm not talking about that kind of ozone.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about ozone on the next plane.
Oh, okay. You're talking about the astral plane.
The astral plane ozone, right. Because when you have a system up there running like the one you're going to have, it'll be exciting time, believe me. And today what I wanted to talk about a little bit was I've been getting calls lately on the use of laser applications in healing. And, of course, we're familiar with the use of lasers. We've been talking about it occasionally on the station. We do produce a very nice laser system that we've been using in health, in the health field for quite a while now, actually about 5 years. And we use three different kinds of lasers. We use the red laser, which is probably the least expensive of the three. Prices ranging from anywhere between $800 and $2,000 or $3,000, depending on the size of the system, you know, for a particular laser or combination thereof of lasers. And then we use another laser, which is a blue beam laser. It's a helium type laser. And what it does is it generates a nice blue beam, and its price range on those runs up about $4,000 to $5,000 in that range. And then, of course, my favorite laser is the big, we use a spectrophysics model 161, the green laser, which is around $9,000 or $10,000. That's the one we had that night at the long time ago. We had that seminar, we had that green one. I think you left by the time the laser came out, hadn't you?
I think I left a little early because I know I missed a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, and that was the green laser, the argon one. So we have one's called helium cadmium, and then the argon laser, and then the red one, of course, which is helium neon.
Let me ask you something about lasers. Can you build a laser with just about any gas?
Yeah, you really can. But the thing is, on lasers that you build with just any gas, is you may not have a visible beam.
Mm-hmm.
There is a type of laser that you can build. I have the plans for it here. It uses a cup. You can go down to the hardware store and get the plans and build kind of a carbon dioxide type laser, which uses primarily a vacuum hose, a little bottle to evacuate the thing with, a high voltage generator, and hook it up to your sink for cooling. And I don't know, it probably costs $200 or $300 to build it if you want to do your own home experimentation laser. I think it's called a dye laser, if I remember correctly, looking over the plans. And if people want a copy of how to build that laser, they can write me down here, and I can send them the plans on it. It's not, I'd say it would take about, it's ultraviolet, puts out in the ultraviolet, which is a dark blue region, and it takes probably about, I'd say a week to build it out of just scraps around the house and the hardware. So if there's nothing unusual, if there's no parts in it that are something you can't get hold of. And lasers, we've been using them primarily to charge crystals with. I find that once you start working with crystals, like quartz crystals, like we've been working with them all of these years, you really, on this planet especially, cannot have such a good time without them in your life. I mean, once you bring crystals into your life, they're a little bit subtle at first. I mean, they're not going to be overwhelming, you know, when you first bring them into your life. You might not even notice anything in the beginning, depending on how sensitive you are. But even the least sensitive person over a period of time will notice profound effects and changes in their life by the use of crystals. Because there's crystals direct energies and they direct forces all around us continually. And if you've had the eyes to see them, these kinds of forces, I think you'd be pretty amazed at what's going on. But the problem we've had with crystals is, in a lot of cases, is they'll pick up negative energies after a while if they're in the right place and doing what they're supposed to, and there's no way of purging them. Now, normally a crystal will be in the ground and is purged off by being in the earth. Its frequencies are attuned to the local magnetic streams and currents that are in the earth, which I would, a lot of these are transported, by the way, in hot lava deep down within the, you know, inside the center of the earth. That's where these forces are moved about. So this has an erasing, function on the crystals themselves. But what happens is when you bring them out of the ground and they aren't into the ground anymore, they have a tendency to pick up negative energy after a while. Well, what we found is that the use of pyramids and pyramid systems like we use helps to negate the effects of these negative buildups on the crystals. But we found that we can go a much quicker route and we can use the laser. Now, using the laser systems on the crystals in the pyramid systems has a very, very profound effect. First of all, we have to realize that the laser is a device that stores energy from light. And it works, if you look at how we metabolize and expend sugar in our bodies through the utilization of ATP, what happens is we're looking at plants first. Plants absorb the green spectrum of the light from white light, which is sunlight. Then the green spectrum that is absorbed in plants is then transferred into, you know, chlorophyll. Chlorophyll, of course, then is taken into our bodies, along with other carbohydrate factions within the plant, all, you know, stemming from the metabolization and structure of chlorophyll. Chlorophyll is just like blood in our bodies, with the exception, instead of having an iron atom in its center or nucleus, we have a magnesium atom in the center or the nucleus, which is a three-sided pyramid versus a four-sided pyramid. Not a quite a complete pyramidal structure yet in a plant form as it is to a human. It's like a car with three tires that needs four. It isn't quite all there. And this is kind of the way nature works in the building blocks. If you study the geometric structures in the plant kingdom and the cells in the plant kingdom and the structure of the plant kingdom, and then you study the geometric structure in an animal and then that of a human being, you'll find the human being is on a geometric level, much more complete, much more balanced, and much stabler. So this energy is then genetically transmitted into the plant from the light from the sun, and then it's moved over into the human. And so when we eat or we start chewing up our foods in that, what we're really doing is liberating the sunlight back into our body for the expenditure of energy and the metabolization and centralization of consciousness within our own form. So looking at the way a laser works, a laser electronically works the same way as a plant absorbs the energy from the sunlight, in the fact that the electrons are spinning around the protons inside the light, inside a laser beam. And what happens is when the laser is pumped by a white light source, depending on which kind of gas is in the laser, it will absorb the spectrum of energy in that particular color range. For example, helium neon absorbs the energy in the red spectrum. Argon absorbs the energy spectrum from the green. And what is happening there is pretty simple. If you look, you know, basic structures of the universe, just imagine that the Earth is a proton and that the moon is an electron. And the energy between the moon and the Earth is the actual energy that makes the moon and the Earth alive on different levels. It makes the Earth turn or rotate, for example. This is an energy that's coming. It's coming from a point. You just imagine it from an imaginary point between here and the moon. It's not coming from the moon. It's not coming from the Earth itself. So we have this imaginary path between the Earth and the moon. Now we can imagine this imaginary light in the color, in the form of a rainbow entering in. And so we can imagine that the color red is coming into the Earth, let's say, from a point just slightly above the atmospheric limit. And then we can imagine orange further out in space. And then we can imagine green entering in somewhere between, halfway between the distance between the Earth and the Moon. This is where the green energy comes in. And then further on out, of course, the blue. And then maybe right above the surface of the Moon, an energy of violet is entering in. Now, the idea of this is the way life works. This is called the spectrum of energy, or the music of the spheres. Each one of these color rays has a particular wavelength to it that relates to a particular sound, and it, of course, is the color itself. So now what happens is these seven different energies are coming in from seven different points of potentialization between the Earth and the Moon, but depending on which one of these points is polarized will determine on which point of energy is going to be active at that given moment in time, because they're not all active at once. They're active each one at a different time. Now, the way that relates to us as human beings is that every fourth atom in our body is one of hydrogen. And the hydrogen atom consists of a single proton, like the Earth, and a single electron, like the Moon. And each one of these hydrogen atoms has these seven different colors of energy entering into it at some point between the proton, or the Earth part of it, and the electron, which is the Moon part of it. And this polarization is determined by time. In other words, what time of day is it? What is the actual aspect of the Earth and the Sun and the solar system? And also, this potentialization takes place not only through time, but its power levels vary also. For example, in the wintertime, any one of these colors may be turned on, but it won't have the vitality that the same energies would have during the midsummer and mid-spring months. That's why we have growing seasons. Because all of this has to do with the position of different heavenly bodies. But the most active one in all of this, of course, is green, because green is right in the center. Green is the balance. That's why the chlorophyll is the color that it is, because it happens that nature has chosen green as its central theme, its central color. It's not any more powerful than any one of the other seven colors, but it's a whole lot more prevalent. So green, of course, in the hydrogen spectrum is a very, very closely watched color by physicists and color therapists alike. And, of course, the green laser is very instrumental in that, too. So now what happens is, let's say during the winter months, when the energy is very low, the sunlight is very low on the north part of the Earth. Now realize when it's active up here on the top part of the Earth, it's inactive down below. And when it's inactive up here, south of the equator, it's more active because of the slant of the Earth's rays and its position, you know, in relationship to the sun during this given period of time. So what we need to do is we need to increase the amount of energy coming into these seven different energies, which then in turn feed the hydrogen atom, which then in turn combines with oxygen, nitrogen, and carbon to then form cells in the body at the rate of 50 million per second. And because the vitality factor of this transfiguration process is low during the wintertime, we need to look at alternative sources to provide more energy. Well, lasers, it help out a lot, because what we do is we use a quartz crystal, and we place a quartz crystal inside of a pyramid structure like a solar orb. This is the one we're going to bring up to the studio. Solar orb, it's a good one to start with. The crystal is placed in the top chamber of the solar orb, And then what happens is it begins to emanate all by itself into the pyramid energy and is then amplified down below it. You'll find when we bring one up to the studio and you rub your hands together, for example, real fast to move the grease off the top or surface of your hands and place your hands underneath the actual solar orb itself, you'll find like a cool tingling going on underneath the antenna structure. Now, if you add a laser to it, and the laser beam then goes through the air and strikes the crystal, what happens is if we're using a red laser beam, we're accelerating in the crystal that form of energy which is closest to the red. Now, bringing that back to our to the analogy of the model that I previously brought forth, what we're now doing is we're looking at the Earth once again, we're looking at the Moon once again, and we're looking at the color red being close to the surface of the Earth as a source of energy, and violet being close to the source of the energy towards the Moon. So what happens is when we use the red laser, what we're doing is we're activating or keying the red energy that's stored up in the crystal, and that is the same thing into our model is we're stimulating the red energy that's close to the surface of the Earth. Now, the red energy has a particular function in the body so that every single cell in the body that has some kind of cellular activity related to the red, for example, that particular process will be enhanced, which will then compensate for the lack of enhancement coming from nature because it's in the wintertime. Okay, so that's basically what we're doing with red.
Dr. Bell, I'd like to interrupt for a second because we've got an important message about Excalibur. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show after this timeout. The name is Excalibur. Excalibur, the world's finest nutritional supplement for the 80s that you've heard Dr. Fred Bell speak of so often, is now available to you at a super low price. Only $14.95. Excalibur is a synergistically formulated supplement that took years to develop and guarantees maximum assimilation within the body. Most supplements meet only part of your nutritional needs, but Excalibur is a full-spectrum nutritional supplement. Don't settle for second best when you can have Excalibur. Order today by calling area code 714-499-2603. That number, 499-2603. Or write to Excalibur, 891 Santa Ana Street, Laguna Beach, California, 92603. Remember, don't settle for second best when you can have Excalibur. 19 minutes now after the hour of 11 o'clock. Once again, here is Dr. Fred Bell.
Thank you, Jim. Now, we'll talk about, you know, we're talking about lasers today and their use in the human body. Now, what this means to us when we start using them, for example, first of all, realize that the vitality globule is very low this time of year, which is an energizing pranic form of air, and that the use of a laser will actually increase this energy, that this life force energy that we're so low in. And to verify that the vitality energy is low this time of year, you can see a higher incidence of natural death occurring between the hours of probably about 2 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the morning. And, of course, this is amplified during the darker months or the shorter light spectrum months of winter, like which are December and January, February, around in there. So what happens is when we start using things like lasers in conjunction with crystals, we start amplifying in our cellular structure these very important life forces that are now not so active. This, in turn, causes less stress on the cell. And when you have less stress on the cell, it gives the body more time to do healing on itself and more time to build itself. And as a result, we have a much higher energy. Because energy is not created or is not destroyed. What happens is energy is transmitted. And it's transmitted from one place to another, and it continually is recirculated throughout the universe. So when we're low on energy, we can increase our energy very simply. Now, some of the things that lasers have been shown in medical applications to do, like in the red spectrum, first of all, is to speed up healing. If you had a open sore or a wound, and it's treated regularly with a small amount, like up to 15 seconds a day with laser light, it will actually speed up the healing process quite a bit. And this is very good because it can prevent infection from occurring, even though it's healing. It does not have a negative effect, but it does have an effect on the kinds of bacteria in the body, because infections like to see low-frequency energy first. Viruses, for example, usually form when the electromagnetic energy in a particular area or site is much lower than normal. With the use of the laser light, we're increasing the electromagnetic activity of the cell. We're increasing its cellular reproductive frequencies. Therefore, we're increasing its reproductive rate. So the red laser is a form of energy. It's a high form of energy coming into the body. Of course, a red laser will work very well with the ruby. As a matter of fact, when rubies were first used, they were first used in the electronic field. The laser is exactly where they were using them. They used to make lasers out of ruby crystals. But the problem with that is, over time, is that, number one, the cooling factor is real great. It costs a lot of money, and it becomes very expensive to keep a ruby laser cooled down, because when a ruby laser gets hot, or any laser gets hot, because there's tremendous amounts of energy that are expended during the transmutation process, whereby the white light, which turns the laser on, is converted into the pure, coherent red light that becomes the healing ray. So this causes a lot of heat, and with a structure such as the ruby rod, the end surfaces are very, very critical, and they have a tendency to fall out of alignment. And of course, when they fall out of alignment, then the laser loses its efficiency, and the strength of the beam goes down, and it's not so bright anymore. It doesn't have its penetrating powers. It's much less. So they dropped the idea of the rubies and began to go to neon gas. Helium neon gas, put inside of a evacuated long, like a straw-shaped clear glass, was easier to cool. It's a lot less expensive because it costs a fortune to make a ruby laser, you know, all of the machining and the grinding and the processing that has to take place. So now all we have is a very optically perfect clear glass tube, which isn't that hard to make, especially if you're making a lot of them under controlled laboratory processes. And then what they do is they put little mirrors on each end, and there's a little mirror on one end of the straw, and there's a little mirror on the other end of the straw. And the mirror on one end has about twice the reflective properties of the other one. It's a heavier, thicker mirror than the other one. So when the energy is building up its power inside the laser, reflecting back and forth, in a coherent manner, what happens is it will eventually penetrate the mirror with the least amount of reflective coatings on the end. So the beam goes out one end. This method is called Q-spoiling. And the same way that the laser generates energy to allow the beam to break out and go through one end, is the same way that when it strikes a quartz crystal, it causes the electrons in the red spectrum of a quartz crystal, because remember, quartz is a transparent to a lightly white tinted object or structure. So it will very readily amplify the healing effects of the red laser. And when this happens, of course, being in the pyramid structure, it will immediately transmit this energy beam right down below it to anything or anyone that's below it. And then, of course, this all being a natural light source, because the word coherent means in phase, or to cohere to, or to attach to. And what happens is, coherent light is light in perfect harmony. It's a random light is, or white light, like coming out of a light bulb, is not random. I mean, it's not in harmony. It's in total conflict. That's why when you look at an artificial light for any length of time, or read in an artificial light for any length of time, it will actually lower your cellular energy. It's been proven, for example, that fluorescent lights, neon lights, incandescent lighting, all this form of lighting, if you put that in an office building all day long, it lowers and fries the cells in the body, lowering your energy. Whereby if you put in what's called full spectrum light, which is light that is semi-coherent. It's a natural form of light. Plants can grow from it. Or if you're in a room with lots and lots of candles, your energy level will go way up. Now, a lot of people, for example, that are used to this jangled form of energy coming from these coherent, incoherent sources, if they light their house up one evening in candles, for example, and try and experiment there by just lighting in candlelight, they'll find that they're very relaxed and they'll probably sleep. They'll go to sleep earlier. And the reason for this is that the random light has...
Anyway, that tape's fading out, and that was a good show. And you could see the tape was actually dragging there at the end, but that's all right. Tapes do become dragging. And bottom line of that whole scenario was that the laser, once you turn the candles out, the laser then would take over, and it would give you a much better sleep. We use the red and green laser, for example, in the Portamid. We shoot it into a crystal right above the persons that are sleeping at night. Now, what we find is that when we use the red laser, people sleep deep and they have tremendous, wonderful dreams, and it talks much faster. When we use the green, a lot of times women, especially the green and the red are both on, cannot sleep. It keeps women, it gives them too much energy, and they cannot sleep. Men don't seem to have that problem, but remember, green is more towards a woman's color because it's the number of the Holy Ghost, the female energy. It's a yin color. So that might be one of the explanations for that. Since that tape was done and since we did that show, a lot of interesting things have happened in the laser field. First of all, we developed the laser that shot into the crystal. That caught on. Then we started scanning it. In the old days, we used a speaker and a wire and a sound and a piece of glass or mirror glued onto the speaker cone. Today, we have very sophisticated scanners, which we sell. Not only that, but in the price range of under $1,500 today, can give you a scanning laser that will produce a tunnel like we use in the star chamber upstairs in the Andromeda star chamber in the temple living room meditation area to get the effect there inside the systems. That unit that we use up there primarily for that is only under $1,500. And that uses a red and a green laser. It mixes the two colors and produces a yellow golden color on top of the red and green. So like I say, from that time on, the technology has come a long way in price, much more education, but the bottom line, the point of it is the vitality globule information, the life force information that was present on that particular show is invaluable today, and it has not changed. As a matter of fact, we're building on it, and there's a lot more to it. So for lasers, you know, can always go to our website, Pyradyne.com. That's www.pyradyne.com, and you will see how we use lasers, for example, with the MicroStar. So that MicroStar is a small unit. We haven't talked about it yet. It's carried in a briefcase. You take it with you on business trips, and it will cause a time shift in your hotel room. So it will shift you out of the negative energies of thousands of weird people staying in the hotel room into the same energy that you had at your house or your private room, but meditation area that you left. It carries that energy within its crystal nature and will redeposit it wherever you want, and that uses a red laser, which is included in it. The MicroStar is a very popular device, and you'll see a tremendous amount of displays of that. You'll also, on the website, you'll also see, if you go into this intersection, there's pictures of it on the front, click on that and go into the second section. You're also going to see lasers performing interdimensional space-time singularity and all kinds of other functions, which they're all capable of. But once again, you have to have the proper equipment with the laser. The laser is just a hosting agent to make it not only visible, but to bring the energy totally into the astral plane without your body having to do any more to it, to process it. Now, in the next tape, we're going to skip topics here a little bit. Just finishing that laser thing up because we hadn't played it. And we're going to jump into a show now, which involves the nuclear receptor and some more information, trying to get all of this nuclear receptor information in one end of the Dr. Bell's Health Science and Energy show permanently there as we'll move into other topics. But it takes at least a month or two to cover one subject properly and have it all archived so you can get every aspect of it. So we're still on that topic, but we are starting to jump topics, as you can see. So here I think you're going to have Dr. Fred Bell and Jim talking again, as they usually are, And I don't know what day was an interesting day, I guess, for them. I don't quite remember how it went, but they seem to enjoy it quite a bit.
And once again, good morning to you, Southern California. Your talk alternative now continues with Dr. Fred Bell's Science and Energy Show. Live from Laguna Beach, California this morning, we have Dr. Fred Bell on the line. Good morning, Dr. Bell.
Good morning, Jim. I see everything.
Good morning, Dr. Bell.
Everything is flowing. It's a beautiful day outside here. How about in Laguna?
Oh, it's great. And I've been having a lot of fun turning all the people on. You know, it's amazing how popular this show is getting. And I was down in went down the Baxter's last night. They have a really neat outrageous lunch card club, and stopped in there with a doctor friend of mine, and everybody knew me, you know, because you know that whole area of Huntington Beach is starting to turn on to KFOX and the Dr. Fred Bell Science and Energy Show. It was great. Then we went up to Fullerton later on in the evening, and had a meeting up there with a group in a new company that's called Nutrition for Life, and everybody, you know, was commenting on the show up there. This show is doing great. So I want to thank all the listeners out there for your feedback, because this is what, you know, encourages us to keep on and getting crazier and crazier. So.
Well, let's remind everyone that we talk about a whole range of subjects. I mean, you call this Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. Those are the areas that you cover. If you have a question or a comment for Dr. Bell, well, you can give us a call this morning. 772-5718 is the toll-free number. 772-5718 and 316-KFOX. As a matter of fact, we've got a call right now, Dr. Bell. Let's go to it before we get started on your topic today, okay?
Okay, that's fine.
Let's go to line four. On line four, we have Patricia from Culver City. Good morning, Patricia.
Good morning. Dr. Bell, I was down this weekend and purchased one of those nuclear reactors.
Receptors, right.
Receptor?
Yeah, I remember.
Reactors. I wanted to know how I should think of the polarity of it. I wanted to use it in, you know, with doing, like, acupressure points on my body.
Right.
Do I think of it as a negative or positive pull?
Well, you don't think of it as either one. You think of it as a synthesis. And if it's a negative energy that it's dealing with, it will amplify that. And if it's a positive energy, it will amplify that. It's an amplifier.
Okay.
And you got to realize that when you're dealing with polarities, you're dealing with two forces, one called Ida and the other force called Pigalle. One is a feminine. The negative is a feminine energy, and the other one is a masculine energy. They're not thought of. The electrical polarity of the body is not, in this case, what we're going to be talking about today, is not in any terms is considered as electricity that's positive and negative poles. So you're dealing with a different force altogether. You're dealing with a force that starts the flow of electricity in the body. And for electricity to flow in the body, it has to have what's called a precursor. And the receptor is a device that is a precursor in nature. It's precursory. And what it does is it starts the body's energies moving, especially if you work it on the chakra point. But realize also, because which stone did you get?
The quartz.
Oh, you mean the diamond one?
The diamond, yeah.
Okay, the diamond one works on the chakras at the top of the head. What you probably want to do, if you're going to do polarity work with it, is get one of the violet ones for the opposite end of the spectrum. You need the top and the bottom to get the entire body covered, because the diamond is tuned into the forces at the upper part of the body, and it is not tuned into the lower part. It will unground you if you don't balance it with the other one, or if you wear it continually.
Yeah, that's what I noticed. I had to do it only periodically.
Yeah, how long can you wear the diamond?
Oh, it depends what's happening. If I'm under pressure, I can't wear it as long as when I am taking care of myself.
Right, and that's because when you're under any kind of pressure, the electricity comes into your body from sound, from light, from people's actions. All these, all motion on the physical plane converts to electricity in the body. And stress occurs when you get too much electricity in the body from other sources. For example, if you overcharge a battery in a car, it gets hot, it gets very hot, and starts to self-destruct. Well, the receptor, the one that you've got, is that and the ruby both increase the flow of energy in the body. So if you are receiving a lot of energy, you don't need to amplify it. What you need to do is sort it out. You need to distribute the energy that's coming in. So the sorting out function takes place at the base of the spine, where the south pole of the aura, where the energy, that's where it starts. Then it goes to the top of the spine and the third ventricle of the brain. This is called the north and south pole, respectively. So what you need to do is get one of the cool ones. That's why I wear that sapphire a lot. I wear the sapphire a lot and the emerald a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I wear the emerald when I want, when you're getting into money, it's green. And if you want money to come to you, wear the emerald because it attracts money because the thyroid gland works on the money level, it's the third ray. Okay? So, you know, read that little booklet. It'll pretty much explain it.
The kid stepped on the pyramid.
Oh, he did, huh?
How do I get it fixed? It has three of the solder points broke.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to realize that the power dome is like a crystal. You've got to really treat it with a lot of respect. And if in titanium, you know, if you put pressure on it in the points like that, it comes apart. So you have to send it back and have to be rebuilt again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Patricia, thank you for calling. Patricia was calling on our toll-free LA line, 772-5718. This is the Dr. Fred Bell Health Science and Energy Show. If you've got a question for Dr. Bell this morning or a comment about any of the fascinating things that we delve into here, give us a call, 772-5718 or 316-KFOX. Dr. Bell?
Okay, yesterday we were talking about the pineal gland, and we had gotten into the fact that the angel kingdom was representing itself through the pineal gland, you know, in an angel. Like, if you study the old Sanskrit text, it says that what you see an angel hears, what it, you know, and what you hear, they feel. And having, I remember when I made this trip in the time machine, one of the things that happened to me when I was moving forward in time, and I'll get into how and why that happened today a little bit as we begin to understand the body and its relationship to the universe. But one of the things that I found is when the time machine, it had a purifying. When you accelerate the atoms in your body to high rates of speed, it purifies the entire aura field. It's like almost like jumping into a vat of bleach, and it's like spiritual bleach. And what happened was that I noticed that, number one, my brain no longer functioned, you know. And when people leave their bodies, like in the death poise, you know, they don't take their brain with them, yet they're able to walk around and see themselves. There's been many, many studies about people where they've come back from the dead. They've walked around, saw their bodies. Maybe they've been pronounced dead for 4 or 5 hours, and they see their bodies. They move around in rooms. They float outside. They do all kinds of things. Their thinking faculties are working, yet their brain is maybe somewhat dead or unconscious also. And so then if we have this life hereafter, and our brain dies, how does this work? And people, so this is one of the questions that was on my mind when I first got into the time machine. And what I found out is that the thoughts and all those kinds of things are in the etheric body. And the brain is nothing more than a switch that switches from the etheric body via the chakra system in the body, you know, into the physical body. The angel kingdom is more in the etheric body and switches down to the physical opposite the way the human body works. For example, in the human body, we have 7 different sets of endocrine glands functioning simultaneously. 6 of the glands, starting with the pituitary gland down, 6 of those secrete hormones directly into the bloodstream and cause a positive feeling to happen. The 7th gland works exactly backwards. The pineal gland, when it secretes a hormone into the body, it usually causes something negative to happen because it's working on a higher spiritual level. So the idea with the pineal gland is to keep it quiet and not have it do anything, and therefore the body then becomes receptive. And what happens in the angel kingdom is the angel, they're etheric beings. They have 7 glands just like we do, except that their last gland, their pituitary gland, is an external gland found on the physical plane in the case of a bee, the queen bee. And then when we discussed yesterday, we talked about the flowers and the arrangement of the petals on a rose and a pine cone. And when they reach a certain vibratory frequency, then they put out an energy field that the bee is then attracted to. Now, if you were to study, the angels have the aura fields with a north and south polarity just like we do. And what happens is the bees, when the parent angel is around, each queen bee represents one angel by itself, one complete angel functioning entity. And when the angel is around, the angel moves, but it's around the beehive a lot because it watches the beehive. And if you were to go on a fast, for example, for 2 or 3 days where you get fairly clear, and sit and observe one single beehive, you'll find that during a certain time of the day, when the swarm is coming in or the swarm is going out, you'll actually see the actual shape. If you notice the flight path of the bees, it'll actually form like a huge angelic being. It's the swarm of these bees. You can actually see, it's almost like the magnetic fields of the earth, almost the same shape. It's kind of like almost like a figure eight that's kind of wide in the middle. And the angel's aura field extends out to every single bee in the hive. And that's why the bee will so quickly defend the hive, because the moment that the bee is destroyed somewhere out on a flower, its little spirit, its vibratory frequency that makes it behave in ways beyond physics, is immediately withdrawn into the aura and it's born again. So the little bee continually is being reborn, and that's why there's new bees being functioning. Actually, the bees are just the same bees being born over and over and over again in the hive. So the bee knows that because he hasn't been programmed any other way, and that's kind of his religion, you know. So he hangs out with that one spirit. Well, in the human body, a similar thing happens. First of all, there are large angelic forces, they're called logos, that preside in the universe. And some UFO activity, which Alan Hynek would call paranormal activity, occurs because of the link-up in the brotherhood that keeps and guides the human race. For example, there's the Pleiades that we rotate around. Then there's the star system called Sirius. And then there's a star system called the Great Bear and one called Orion. And these all four work sort of like the base of a pyramid. And as a matter of fact, in the studies of the White Brotherhood, which is a group of people that have been leading science and religion for centuries on this planet, they talk about the blue ray coming from the constellation in Sirius. If you study the Bhagavad Gita, it talks about a blue-skinned person by the name of Krishna that came from somewhere out there. And recently there have been some UFO sightings around the world where they have seen blue-skinned people. So you begin to see this correlation between these rays, and these energies that link these star systems up are called, you know, master rays. There's basically seven major rays, and that's why everything divides into sevens, because subtly these seven rays influence our entire lives. The White Brotherhood gave them psychological names. In the body they became seven different chakras, which then go into empower seven different endocrine glands. Now, if you want to know what a chakra looks like and how they're distributed through the body, which most people do, those of you that are just getting into this stuff, and a lot of this information, by the way, that we're discussing now is in my book, Death of Ignorance, which will hopefully be on the market soon. We finally got our Xerox machine yesterday, the big one that prints the books. But anyway, look down the spine. If you imagine looking at your spine, the base of the spine has a point on it. Coming up the spine has another point. So you have different points. You have seven different points starting from the base of the spine and ending at the top of the head. And coming off of these spine, off these different points are like flowers. You can imagine a flower connected from the front of the body back down with its root or stalk hooking into the spine. And these flowers, they're described in the Oriental books as a flower, just for the sake of understanding, can be seen once again by the principle we were talking about yesterday. When you use the dye, when you look through the Dyson and dye, you can actually see this phenomenon going on. The base of the spine, or the root chakra, is called the Mulahadra. And it has four petals on it. It has like four spokes. And what happens is, the energy, the divine energy, which comes into one of these centers in the body, sets up right angles to itself. And that's where, what happens is, the astral energy, like the emotional plane that we were talking about the other day, we mentioned on the show, other people are starting to talk about the astral plane, in the etheric plane are meeting at the base of the spine simultaneously. The energies coming in from the astral plane are from the emotional body, from the higher world, and the etheric body is a part of the physical body. It's not some other world, it's an actual physical part, it's a very subtle part. And it meets at right angles. And when it meets at right angles, it forms like little pyramid shapes of energy. And what happens is then the flower begins to rotate. And as it rotates, it causes an interweaving process to take place that links up the physical body to the etheric, to the astral. And this is constantly going on in the body. further up the body is the spleen area. And this is where the second chakra is located. It has six different spokes. And it's also performing the same energy function. Further up near the navel is the umbilical chakra, called the Manipura. And it has 10. Then the next one is the heart. You get up to the heart, and they call it the Ahana. And that's 12. Then you get up into the throat, the thyroid, which we talk about, that has 16. And then you get up into the brow or the center between the eyes, it has 96. And then you go to the crown or the top of the head, you have 960 of these little spokes. So it becomes more integrated. And we've divided these chakras up into three basic groups. The lower, middle, and the higher. And they might respectively be called the physiological, the personal, and the spiritual. Because energy follows thought. And when you, for example, center yourself on the lower chakra, you are very physical. You're in the sexual energies. When you center your energies in the mid part of the body, you're into a compassionate form. You're into a feedback form. Your life will be that one of brotherhood and sisterhood. And then when you reach the higher chakras at the top of the head, you reach the spiritual kingdoms and you begin to communicate with the higher forces. You become aware of the higher forces. Now, memory is connected directly in to all of this. Memory, you could define it as something that you have experienced. It's like the ability to recall an experience. And the idea is to tune yourself up and simultaneously get all of the chakras working so that magnetically your memory, your recall of an event, it can be extended not only across, you know, a few minutes, but across an entire lifetime or a series of lifetimes. When this happens, consciousness is raised, and you have what is called consciousness raising. You know, the continuity of consciousness. This is what I was trying to describe when I was talking to. Sometimes we have these conversations with people. I do anyway, and we talk about the about remembering what. Try to remember, all of you out there. Try to remember what you can about the day you were born, the few days after you were born, the first early years of your childhood. A lot of people don't take the time to think about, you know, what was going on in their childhood at the earliest hours. And it's a good exercise to try to remember back, you know, early events in your life. Because what happens is the actual discipline of this is causing certain centers in the brain to be working again that are normally asleep. And the brain is a lot like a muscle. So you start to really get in touch with the forces behind immortality within your own nature if you try to reflect back on your early life. Now what happens is, this energy is moving, each one of these chakras, by the way, each one of these rotating fields rotates in the opposite direction of the other. So if one is going clockwise, the next one is going counterclockwise. The next one is going clockwise, the next one is going counterclockwise.
Dr. Bell, excuse me, but we have a call on line 4 I thought we might get you.
Okay.
Let's go to line 4 right now. We've got Scott on the line. Scott,
yeah.
Good morning.
Hi. I wanted to ask one question about the nuclear receptor.
Right.
What do you think would be the best gem for someone with hypoglycemia?
Peridot. It works in the digestive tract.
That would be the one?
Right. Sometimes it's called sometimes it's called the yellow diamond in one quality, and another quality it's called the pale emerald. It's quite an amazing stone.
Uh-huh.
Peridot is the one.
Great.
Yeah, it works on the central part of the body. It works. Well, the central part of the body is the area around the spleen, the kidneys, the liver, that area.
Uh-huh.
Because when a person is a hypoglycemic, they are like a car swerving on an icy road.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're going back and forth, back and forth. And when you balance the diet, a lot of times the etheric pattern, see the etheric body, which we're talking about right now, doesn't settle down as quick as the physical body does.
Right.
That's why you have a desire, even though you clean up your act, to cheat some more. So you got to treat the etheric body, which is the electrical precursing body, you know, right along with the physical to get yourself back in line again.
Well, would you be able to wear this while you're sleeping?
Yes, you can wear a Peridot continually. It's a soft stone, so you can wear it forever. There's no side effects from it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Scott,
goodbye.
Thank you very much for calling. Scott was calling in 772-5718. Once again, a reminder, you're listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show on Your Talk Alternative. Dr. Bell? Yes, indeed. For some reason today, I just can't seem to get the words out clear.
Right. Now, Now, what happens is now when these chakras are running, you get two other forces start moving opposite one another, and they start out at the base of the spine, and they're called Ida and Pingala. And to the yogis, they call it the Kundalini force. And when you start getting your body, your physical part of your body, your psychological part of your body, your spiritual part of your body, all functioning together, what happens is the spine is then relaxed. There is less electricity flowing through the spine at this time. And as the spine is more and more and more relaxed, you have less back problems. The chakras get more and more and more energy because it has to start down in the spleen area, because the spleen is the area that takes the energy out of oxygen and negative ionization and converts it into a usable form of energy that keeps the blood alive. So when this starts to take place, the raising of the Kundalini begins to happen. As the Kundalini begins to happen, what is happening biochemically is the cerebral spinal fluid begins to move up and down the spine in a place that was heretofore blocked by the tension created by a tight nervous wreath going up and down the spine. So it actually creates an opening in there where the fluid can go up and down. When this fluid goes up and down and the pathway starts to open, it creates the human spine begins to work instead of like a spine transmuting base or pragmatic, you know, signals throughout the body for feeling and sensing and all those kinds of things. It begins to work like a linear accelerator. And what happens then is high frequency vibrations are accelerated back up the spine at a high rate of speed and begin to spread out at the throat. And they're focused by the pineal gland, and they end up bombarding they're focused by the pituitary gland. The pituitary gland, and then they end up hitting at the top of the head. And when they hit the top of the head, it opens up the pineal gland and it shuts down some of the functions. And this, of course, is called the opening up of the crown chakra. And you can almost imagine it, the whole spine working like a cathode ray tube on a television set, whereas the back end of the tube is where they accelerate the electrons, and the phosphor of the screen on a television set, you know, being the illuminating factor, and the intelligence is being sent into it, creating a picture. And this is basically how we begin to create pictures in our mind by this action, and the more and more that the crown chakra is open, the more easily it is to picture things. And when you begin to picture things in this fashion, your creative flow is greatly enhanced.
Dr. Bell, this is fascinating. Right now we have another call on the line. Let's go to Alan on line 4. Alan, you're on the air with Dr. Fred Bell.
Yes, Fred?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to know about the receptor. If it was put around the dome, would it double effect of it or something?
Okay, two things happen. That's a good question. You wear it around your neck, but the pyramid that I recommend that you wear is the power dome. But realize when you wear the power dome, okay, it by itself produces an altered state. In other words, every day you wear a power dome, the longer you wear it, the higher and higher you get. It's almost like a psychedelic experience after about a week. As a matter of fact, in some people it becomes a psychedelic experience right away. Now this is great for creative work. But it's not so good if you're working, you know, one-on-one with people, because you're going to have a tendency to space out and just kind of move away. The receptor, on the other hand, is a grounding device. The receptor, what it does is it brings you into your body, it gets your body functioning properly, it keeps it on an even, steady vibration. Whereas the pyramid is like an infinity device, the receptor is a grounding device. So what I oftentimes do is I wear both of them. You can wear the pyramid on your head and the receptor at the same time. But when you do that, you're going to increase the energy of the pyramid quite a bit. You're also going to increase the receptor energy quite a bit. So you've got to be careful, because you can actually, there is a period of adaption that takes place, and you don't want to go too fast, because you can end up with headaches because of too many toxins being released, or just totally losing interest in something. And you'll find your interest and your values, everything will change. It shifts towards more spiritual, towards more inward purpose. And you could take some, say a construction worker or something, that somebody has a very, what I would say, hard physical job, put a pyramid on their head, they might forget about it and just walk off the job, you know. I've seen that happen, so you've got to realize what they're doing.
I see. So wearing more than just the receptor, or even two of them.
Well, only wear one receptor at a time.
What happens when you wear two?
Well, what happens if you wear two is the receptor is designed to work with a human aura, and that's a lot of input. If you put two in there, the stones will fight with each other. It's like
you don't want to, you know, you don't want to take an upper and a downer, if you can understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
In other words, you want to take a sleeping pill and to go to sleep and then drink a cup of coffee. So some of the receptors will produce an effect on your body that will put you to sleep. And maybe the relaxing ones and other ones will speed your energy up. Your adrenal levels will change. So you want to work with one stone at a time.
Okay.
See, this isn't the problem with the human race. They want to take off. There's a lot of grounding that's involved with this kind of equipment. We'll get into that tomorrow when we start talking about the altered state and how that works. But right now, just use one.
All right. Thank you.
How's your receptor doing, Tim?
Mine's fine. I was going to ask you about that. You were talking about the diamond and how you can only wear it for a short period of time. I haven't had any problems at all. I don't know if that's because I recently come out that cleanse or...
No, that's exactly why you're not having any problems at all. That's exactly it, because you cleaned your body up.
Okay, well, I'm glad I did it then.
Yeah, it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect, you know. Anyway, I think we're getting running out of time here. I don't want to
yes, I just looked up the clock, and boy, this half hour went quick.
Well, you know, when you get into the etheric, I was just about ready to get into time and gravity and all kind of things, so, and how that works in the body. But I guess we're going to have to pull that one up till tomorrow.
Well, I tell you, I was very pleased. We got a number of calls today, and I'd like to urge more people to call rather than call you at your home and call you on the air here.
That's great, and realize that, everybody out there should be taking off the next caliber. I see that we're selling more and more of it.
Well,
now.
There you go. Yes, you can see what happens here with these shows. The time effect is kicking in on the tape itself. That was the end of the show, and the energy got so high at the end that the tape actually sped up. And that's real interesting. It was slow on the other tape and fast on this one, so it shows you how energy works. Probably blowing up my tape system. Luckily, I got plenty of backups here. The word around here with tape recorders is backups and backups, because we are archiving off these tapes. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed the Dr. Fred Bell Science and Energy Show for this week, and next week we'll have another one, and pretty soon we'll have some more live shows. I've got some incredibly exciting guests in mind, people you have probably seen on radio and TV over the years that have done some environmental quests and other things. So with that, I guess we'll be getting ready to take a hike out of here. Don't forget the 800 numbers. 1-800-729-2603 is a good one, and we want you to come and call us sometime. And I guess we're going into space. This is sounds like the Atlantis Rising album.
again, alone with you. Remembering years ago, we spent together. Yesterday is today, and tomorrow too. I have dreamed myself into this life, and soon my dreams will bring you back. Today's karma will bring tomorrow's light, which will shine on the path that others walked. How long would Thak have lived if Isis died? What was in Capron's mind the night he cried? Could his daughter's sorrow make him realize the pyramid's mighty tale would mark the end of time? Many years of yesterday and 100 more today only make us realize the eons of tomorrow.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.